Everybody, welcome to a Thursday Sports Line of Bulldog Out. Got to go alongside with us for the three. Hand it off to our good friend Phil Benatti, his band show behind the bench at Fashion Furniture with another good friend, Rod Abadiki, until 5 o'clock today. And then I think most people know by now, it's NFL time. Eagles and the Giants from the Meadowlands. And also we have the Dodger game over on 790 at around 3 o'clock. So as we wrap up, that's going to get started. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little bit later, courtesy of our great sponsor, Ed Dunkel, and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And when we go over the schedule, I'll also tell you how much Ed is able to do for his alma mater, Fresno State, in the way of fundraising, in particular the Lyles College of Engineering there, where a lot of those grads go right to Ed's business at Precision Civil Engineering. Jackson with me on the road today. He is somewhere between Denver and Fort Collins, and that's a good idea because he's headed from Denver to Fort Collins. Otherwise, we would have a problem because, as you know, the game is tomorrow, and you guessed it, Fort Collins. We'll get to our de facto co-host in just a moment, but first, it is reminder time with the rest of our lead dogs. Want to spend a few minutes with you. Want to remind you about our buddies at KFC, first and foremost, Fresno, Clovis, Selma, Kerman, the local operators of this international and the national, long-time outstanding company. And right now they have special deals going on, and I'll tell you more about it as we go through the days and weeks here in October and November. But right now, just a thumbnail for you. The specials that are going on, the original honey barbecue two-piece and three-piece chicken combo, those are great deals. One for $11, one for about $13. And they each include the honey barbecue sauce, the individual side, the biscuits, medium drink, and even the wet nap with both the two- and three-piece chicken combos. Also, you have the tenders combo, the three- and four-piece tenders combo that have the individual sides, the two dip cups, the biscuit, the medium drink, the wet nap. Those also very reasonably priced, right around $12 to $14. And then finally, the original honey barbecue chicken sandwich combo, just over $11. It includes the chicken sandwich dunked again in the honey barbecue sauce, which is terrific, an individual side, a medium drink, and the wet nap. Those are great deals. We'll go over them in more specificity as the days roll through. But if you stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, Kerman, pick up anything you like on the new offers. Also, you always have the Tuesday $10 eight-piece bucket. You also have the Wednesday $5.99 chicken steak combo. You got all of that country steak combo. All of that is still there at the local KFCs. And also, when you pick up a bucket or two or any other offering there, tell them thanks for being part of the solution to help athletics move forward at Fresno State and across the valley. And we really appreciate their sponsorship each and every day. The other reminders: the weather comes courtesy of Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, longtime sponsors for us. Been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I'm added to do, in to do work, even during COVID. Very professional people, very timely. Anything you need, give them a call, 825-5337, which is 825-Lees or leesair.com. Also, they bring you the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. That's how we'll bring Jackson Moore up, and that's how Phil is able to bring not only his guests along, but the callers from the general public, including today. And, of course, today you can stop by and see Phil in person at Fashion Furniture El Paso across from River Park. As far as the forecast goes, it is, once again, letter perfect, 80 today, 80 tomorrow, 75 on Saturday, 74 Sunday. The lows are going to be in the high 50s, high to mid 50s. The winds are down under 10 miles an hour. And then Monday late, a chance for rain, particularly to the north, but a chance on the valley floor Monday late evening to night. And that may carry through to Tuesday with shower chances then. It'll be 72 on Monday, 69 on Tuesday, and then clearing out on Wednesday at 70. So it is a very good forecast for the next 7 days, and we'll see if we get a little bit of rain at the start of next week. But anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, 825-5337, 825-LEES. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, or check them out on the web at leesair.com. All right, the other reminder, our good and longtime buddy Joe Cruz's outstanding business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating its 25th anniversary in town. Because of the success of the business, Joe has been able to donate to Fresno State and has done that, as a matter of fact, for over three decades. Right now, his business going great guns because of the tremendous components he can offer you in the way of pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses. Anything from an industrial standpoint is right there at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. You can get more information by calling 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. And one of the great aspects of this terrific family-friendly business is the same-day estimate, same-day service. If you're working around a valve, for instance, you're a plant or maintenance person, tanker delivery person, anybody who relies upon a valve, it might be at a dairy, for instance, anybody who has to have that valve functioning fully and capably, if it goes down, your business can go crashing down in a big hurry. And what Joe is able to do, contact him. He'll analyze your problem on a same-day basis and get you up and running if you're down, or keep you up and running if you're starting to have problems. That way your bottom line is not affected. After he does that, if you have a few minutes, he will tell you what he has done as a major benefactor for Fresno State for over three decades. And he'll tell you what he'd like to see you do in that regard. And we remind you about this each and every day. The best avenue right now for donation to Fresno State, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. The BulldogFoundation.org link is where you get to first. And under that particular header, you're going to see the major giving societies, the Green V Society, the Myers Champion Circle. Information for both of those entities are there. And then under ways to give, they have the rundown of the methods of support to explain to you what you can do to benefit each and every sport or the university as a whole. Also, the sports clubs and the Valley Co-op there. The Valley Co-op, very important with the matching funds. And the sports clubs, we've talked about over and over again, you're able to direct your money directly to that sport. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club men's basketball. Jack Furtig with me to talk basketball every week on the board of directors of the quarterback of the timeout club. And by the way, quarterback club on Thursdays, every other Thursday they meet. The basketball banquet is coming up on the 13th. The RSVP was last Friday. I think you can still get in. You'll have to check, and I will get Judy Lee's phone number for you before the day ends. But Jack Furtig has said, if you want more information about being a member or getting into that banquet, give him a call directly on his cell, which is 559-287-3305, or FurtigJack@AOL.com for more information. They'd love to have more members. We're closing in, of course, in a big hurry on the basketball season for both the men's and the women's teams. The women's team just had their meet and greet, and like I said, the men at Pardini's coming up next Monday, the 13th. Also, you have links for other sports. For instance, Dugout Club for baseball, and you have other men's and women's sports there under sports clubs, ways to give. Those are the best ways to benefit Fresno State, so check that out at GoBulldogs.com. And we thank Joe Cruz for allowing us the time to tell you about that. So thanks to Joe, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We appreciate each and every one. And right now, we appreciate our de facto co-host, Jackson Moore, who is on the road again. That's right. It's the Willie Nelson of Central California, because Jackson is in his early 90s. Let's bring up Jackson Moore on his way to Fort Collins. Jackson, how you doing? doing just fine. I wish you were in your early 90s, then I would feel young. But I know damn well you're in, what, your mid-30s now? Or you're not even in mid-30s yet, right?
I guess I am. What does 33 get me? Is that mid yet?
What it gets you? For me, a kick in your... Well, you never mind. Unfettered anger is what it gets for me for you being 33 years old. Because I remember being 33 years old, provided we were at, 1990. So, but isn't your dad like 2 months older than I am? Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to carry that with me throughout the entire time. All right, Jackson, let's get down to brass tacks here. I want to start with Deegan Rose. What does this mean? You and I touched upon it the other day. By the way, I do want to mention to those of you who've asked about, because we have been preempted a lot this week, and that has, and last week also, because of baseball. That will end now because the games the rest of the way will be later in the day. This was the last time yesterday that we're going to have the crossover of games in the afternoon. But Jackson was with me on Tuesday, but because of all the games and everything, the show did not get recorded. So those that have asked about it, it is not up on podcast because it wasn't recorded. We will get back to most of the topics today with Jackson. That's the break of Jackson being with us 2 days a week. But we were talking about Deegan Rose quickly the other day. At greater length, Jackson, what does this mean? I know it's a feather in the cap of Matt Entz and the coaching staff, and we've talked about local guys. How crowded does it make the quarterback room beginning next year?
Yeah, the pickup itself is huge. He's 24/7 Sports number 26 quarterback in the class. He's 1 point shy of four-star status. And any recruit of this caliber is a big deal for Fresno State, but for it to be a local, to be the second-ranked local as well in this class, there's only one recruit in the Valley that's rated higher than him, which is Israel Briggs, his teammate, tight end. He's going to Miami. So outside of that one guy, I mean, this was the biggest haul that the Bulldogs could have pulled off and to flip him from Oregon State. And you consider, you know, this coaching staff as well. They came in when Deegan Rose was already committed to Oregon State and didn't have any ties to him and didn't have many local ties either. And they still made a big push for him. They were going after him all offseason long and never stopped. And eventually they were able to pull off the flip. And I think as important as 5-1 is for Fresno State, it was probably as important as Oregon State was 0-6. And it's not looking so great over there right now. So I think a lot of different things came together for the Bulldogs to get a really, really talented quarterback. I've got to see Deegan Rose compete at the Elite 11. He was very good. He was probably the next quarterback up after the two that got the Elite 11 invites to the finalist event. He was led the Clovis High 7-on-7 team to the Battle of the Valley 7-on-7 championship at Fresno State. And just it was like a cheat code out there, especially 7-on-7. There's no pressure. He was just putting every single pass on a dime. He probably threw over 30 touchdowns in one day after all the games that they had the teams go through. So a huge deal. It does make for a crowded quarterback room, and not just like the guys that are being named right now. You think about the roster. There are two true freshmen on the current roster who will be redshirt freshmen next year that we haven't seen yet. And the Bulldogs have another quarterback in this class, Jacob Chambers out of Rancho Cucamonga, who they went for kind of after it seemed like Deegan Rose was they were going for Deegan, and it looked like it wasn't going to happen. So then they went to the next guy, and now they've got both of them. So on paper right now, there's six scholarship quarterbacks if everyone returned outside of E.J. Warner graduating. And, you know, it's just kind of hard to do the math now because technically Carson Tomklin, if he's up next, he could start for 2 years. Or, you know, in today's world, he could start for one and cash in on NIL, and Deegan Rose can follow him, or maybe Rose competes right away. So a lot of moving parts. And also, if you're Chambers, you know, you might have 2 or 3 years of eligibility after the whole Conklin Rose era ends with all the NIL dollars being tossed around. These guys are perform as well as hoped. So it'll be interesting to see how they balance out the roster for next year if some players leave, but it's really hard to project too far out these days.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Jackson. Your points are well taken. We've talked about the downside of transfer portal, and NIL. And as you know, I'm not a big fan particularly of NIL. I've learned to live with transfer portal, although I don't think it has been executed in the way it was originally intended, though they are tightening up the parameters as we've talked. But I guess if there is a silver lining at all for players and even for schools, a player can take a chance at home and not feel as though if it doesn't work, he's locked in. In other words, you can say, and I heard Deegan Rose say all the right things last night on the news. I mean, saying, you know what, this is what he wanted to do now, that, you know, playing locally is what it's all about. And I know he's absolutely sincere about that. And it is, as we've talked, a little of that Pied Piper kind of situation where other guys can follow in line. We've seen it before with Clovis West guys, this happening. And it is a very positive thing for the community. But also, Jackson, I would say that with the ease with which you can move now, it enables guys to take opportunities, saying, in case it doesn't work out for whatever the reason at his hometown, anywhere, you can get out and get somewhere else, still chase the financial end if you want to, but the playing time you can rectify in a hurry without sitting out. So I guess in that regard, it is a positive because guys have a tendency to maybe take what is more in their heart than the bottom line initially. Would you agree with that?
I would. I think it's the best of both worlds. You know, a player of his caliber is still a big deal, but probably not, you know, like life-changing money, you know, on the overall NIL market for a freshman quarterback, so even at his caliber. Also, if you take one of those offers, you're probably going to be sitting behind some players for a while. If he would have gone to some of the schools on his offers list, like Auburn or Oregon or Virginia Tech, some of these schools that were on that list, you know, they might have to wait a little bit longer. So I believe Fresno State has been able to pull together something competitive here and should be able to get some incentives to be a Bulldog, as well as being able to stay home. I know he's had a lot of interest from the beginning of being at home. I've been interviewing him for like 3 years now, and that's always been something that came up about how important it would be. It is interesting. He is from Big Creek originally. He's only been in Clovis for a handful of years now, but still pretty local. So that's been a big deal for him to have an opportunity to be a Bulldog. And again, if you do very well in a year or two, then that's when that discussion comes up potentially about life-changing dollars, where that local deal might not. You might want to cash in and go chase one of those things. But in the short term, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm kind of curious, kind of on the other end of deals, you know, you look at Jaden Mandel as an example of a guy that, if you could rewrite that story, you know, maybe going to a lower school and trying to move up, or, you know, you look at Joshua Wood, he went to Idaho. And it looks like, you know, if he keeps performing the way he is, he might be, you know, he's increased his value by taking a step back in this whole process. So I'd be curious to see you know, kind of some of the recruits on the other end, how they approach this as well as these dollar figures become more and more prevalent.
Well, we've said before, nobody wants to be perceived as the farm system for the big boys, but the cold, hard reality is, and it was exemplified, and I'll talk to Panish about it tomorrow, and you and I certainly discussed it on Tuesday. The $50 million donation at Stanford tells you that there are haves and have-nots, and you have to reconcile that fact. So when you look at a player who's a local guy, you can't say it's forever, but you can say, as you're referencing, Jackson, that If it's at all equal, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt locally. And that, I think, helps, and I think it certainly is nice for a player to take an opportunity. And if it works out at home, he doesn't leave at all until maybe he gets drafted. But if it doesn't work out, he has a chance to move along. And if the money is greater, then you have to accept that, and it's going to be greater certain places. The other thing, and I think it's something that we've brought up a lot, but it bears repeating, NIL can be very unsavory. And like I said, I'm not in favor of it, the way it's structured now, and you and I have talked about this a lot. The idea was your performance would then lead to your value. It wasn't supposed to be projecting what you might do to be paid. That's what happens in the pro leagues when they try to figure out in the draft if what you're doing in college equates to the pro game. It's turned into this right now where you're paying players who haven't proven anything yet. That wasn't how it was intended, but the courts left it open, and people are going to run to the money. I get it. I understand. But the one thing, I do have a degree of sympathy for that quarterback position, because as we talk, Jackson, it is the one position where you really can't share time. If you're a running back, I look at Fresno State's stable of running backs right now. Bryson Donaldson may very well be NFL caliber. So might Speedy Luke. Okay. Brandon Ramirez could be a terrific blocking back if the fullback ever comes back in the NFL the way it was when O'Neal was there. Who knows? But the biggest thing is they can share time and still get their reps. You and I both know, Jackson, if you're the second quarterback, you may never see action until mop-up time. So I think we all have to understand that position is the one where if you're not getting playing time independent of the money, you do need to understand that people are going to move along and you can't begrudge them that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. There's only one guy you can put back there. And it's a lot easier to kind of map out as well, you know, how long it might be until you might be that guy. And it's going to be interesting now without a portal window after the spring. You know, you really have to be calculated if you think the starter could become prevalent or apparent by the time spring's over. So you got to decide whether you feel like you're in a good spot or you should go compete somewhere else. Or there's going to be a lot of trying to look ahead when January rolls around and this new portal process picks up.
Right. Well, again, it's something to keep an eye on, but it is, again, the great credit to Deegan, to decide to come back home, and to Matt Entz and the coaching staff. As we talk, Jackson, winning still means something. And you and I both know, as you just referenced, it's not a happy time in Corvallis right now. And here in town, team has made the plays, and they are right now a 5-1 football team heading into Friday. First of all, the weather for tomorrow, you and I were talking off air, it appears to be just what you would want, 67 and cloudy, not overly cold, not overly hot. The last time the Bulldogs were there, an afternoon game in 2016, they played as abysmally as you possibly could with the interim coaching staff. It was an embarrassment to everybody. Not relevant to these guys. They were in elementary school, all of them, when this happened 9 years ago. But Jackson, without question, the Bulldog team that goes into Fort Collins in 2025 as compared to 2016, a completely different point of view, and right now a downtrodden Colorado State team. Do you believe the Bulldogs will go in with relative ease and get this done tomorrow, or are you worried about it, period?
I'm feeling pretty comfortable about this one. I think what is relevant about that history you mentioned is that these guys haven't, this whole program hasn't even been to this new Kansas Stadium that opened nine years ago now. And so there's not a lot of history, even though these are conference mates. There's been a lot of weird stuff that's happened with COVID scheduling and the change without divisions. It took away a couple of these games that were supposed to happen in Fort Collins. So there's not a lot of history or experience here. It's going to be brand new. And I'm also a little curious, this is probably, at least from Fresno State side, there's not much bad blood here. If you're the Rams, the guys that played in that game last year, losing at Valley Children's Stadium cost them the Mountain West Championship game appearance, basically. So they might have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, but you know, not the type of fierceness I think Fresno State's going to come in with the way that they had played Nevada and Hawaii the year before. There was a lot of bad blood between all those teams going in. I just think the matchups here fit Fresno State very well. Nevada is by no means a world beater. They both only have one win, but the Wolfpack's D-line was really something special, and Hawaii's D-line was very strong. And with you're trying to win in the trenches and get things done that way, and you're playing a really good D-line, it makes your job a lot tougher. And so Colorado State, they don't have that type of personnel. I think the Bulldogs are going to be a lot more effective on offense. And this Rams, the Rams offense on their side seems to be pretty porous, you know, about the same as Nevada. Not a lot going on that side of the ball. And the Fresno State defense is playing red hot. So I think as long as the Bulldogs don't beat the Bulldogs, they should win this one. I do think that it's just a matter of how effective the offense is. Can Colorado State, even with subpar talent, bog down the box and make life difficult for the Bulldogs, or can Fresno State run all over them and make this lopsided? Again, I think the defense is going to give them leeway to win in either of those two styles. But also Colorado State, they've got a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball, so I think this sets up nicely for the Bulldogs to get the running game going. And neither of these teams are very aggressive, so I don't think the score is going to get too inflated, but I think it's going to be rather lopsided in the Bulldogs' favor.
Any concern about the offensive hangover from what was a very poor second half offensively against Nevada? I mean, there are reasons for it, and the coaching staff has certainly addressed it. Anything that you see carrying over, or was that just one of those things where, as Matt N said, maybe in the first half started staring at the scoreboard a little bit too much?
Yeah, you know, I just think I give a lot of credit to Nevada. They've got, again, they're really impressive up front. Two of their defensive ends, the two starters, you'd be hard-pressed to find many duos that good, even at some Power 4 programs. That might be the best group of five pair of DNs as far as just the two. I would certainly take the Bulldogs' bet over those two guys. I feel like Fresno State's got four or five you feel good about, but those two specifically are really grading out well on film, and I just think they made life tough for the Bulldogs. The one thing I worry about here is if Colorado State plugs up the box, puts a ton of guys in there, and Fresno State isn't able to overpower them, and the passing game's not quite enough to throw them out of it, maybe that kind of is the hangover. There's some frustrations by not being able to do what they want to do against the defense that they should on paper be able to do. That's kind of snowball potentially, but hopefully that's not an issue. Hopefully they win in the trenches and get this running game going.
Now, again, not that this necessarily relates to this team, because this is a new coaching staff and a lot of turnover, and so we have to get used to a lot of turnover because it's going to happen year after year, but in particular when you had guys leaving because of the coaching change. You also had a lot of guys coming in because of the coaching change. But historically, Jackson, there has always been that danger of the flat environment on the road. We talk about the game in 99 at in Dallas against SMU. I was bringing up with Paul the other day where the Bulldogs went in and the old Cotton Bowl had 90,000 empty seats, it seemed like, around there, okay? But I mentioned that the Bulldogs played as flat as you could, and Pat Hill mentioned standing on the sideline that it was so quiet he could hear the Ferris wheel music from the state fair behind him. And it was just an awful performance, and we had seen it happen in Tulsa and some other places from Fresno State's point of view, where as much as you don't want to go into a hostile environment, sometimes a flat environment can make it feel like a glorified scrimmage, particularly when you, as the road team, have a lot more at stake. I don't think you're going to see a great crowd on a Friday night in what can be a very raucous place, as you know, the new stadium can be. We saw it when they played Colorado. But Jackson, are we going to see a very, very flat environment and a disinterested home crowd? And is there a danger in that for Fresno State, just a lack of environment, period?
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting it to be pretty quiet. I know this Colorado State program has pretty good support. They put up pretty good attendance numbers, even without really having a special season in quite some time. But you factor in right now the losing streak they've got going, the situation, that not many fans happy with the head coaching situation or the play calling situation or the quarterback situation. They're trying something new every week, it feels like, and nothing seems to be working. It's a Friday, as mentioned. There's a slight chance there could be some rain in this game. There's a lot of reasons for people not to show up. And I think I'm not necessarily worried too much about this team not being able to handle that, but it is just because this would be the first time that they would have to go through that. Even Hawaii, with 15,000 seats, they were pretty much all full, and man, right, that crowd was—they were on them. It may not have been a large volume of fans, but the ones that were there really were impacting the game in a pretty significant way. Oregon State had a lot of seats. It was still 28,000, I think, was the announced attendance, but there was 10,000 tickets that went unsold, and I think probably another 10,000 seats that were empty for most of that game. It was not very full, yet that stadium also got pretty loud with the chainsaws and some of the boos on the Beaver missed snaps and handles were sounded like it was a sold-out crowd. It was pretty loud on those situations, even though it wasn't reflecting what the Bulldogs were doing there. And then, of course, Kansas, there wasn't an empty seat in the whole building. So this could be the first time where they really do have to bring their own energy. And I think that's been reflected in practice. You know, before Hawaii, they had the Hawaiian music going. Before Oregon State, they had the chainsaws. Had some Rock Chalk Jayhawk, I believe, going on for Kansas week. And, you know, just nothing really special for this trip to Colorado State. They've just been kind of playing their normal music and just grinding along this week as if it's any other game and that they need to bring it themselves.
Well, the other thing historically that has been an issue, and goodness knows we've talked about it over and over again, you look at a season like this, and I'm not, you know, diminishing UNLV's chances, for instance, but by and large, as we were just talking the other day, and really from the start of the year looking at the schedule, particularly with the cluster of bye weeks around it, the two-game set with a better San Diego State team coming in the 25th here, the next home game for Fresno State, than we thought. The San Diego State team at the start of the year appeared to be in disarray. They're playing much better football right now. They're going to be a test here. They always are. And then, of course, you go to Boise at the start of November. You never know about the weather, and it's always a challenge on the Smurf turf, though the Bulldogs have had success lately. Jackson, as much as you want to point to those two back-to-back games, and justifiably so, saying they probably are going to determine your fate, you and I know that it is the most one of the most irritating things to have happen is to have those kind of games set up and lose a game like this, and then you actually beat the team head-to-head, but somehow, because you split those two games, you find yourself a game behind in the standings. At the end of the year, you say, wait a minute, we beat these guys, but we're a game behind them, so the tie break means nothing. That's why, if we want to call them stub-your-toe games or whatever, the Bulldogs just can't lose this type of game, correct? Because that's where it can just kill what you're trying to do going forward, because there's no reason to lose this kind of game.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I don't think those games are coming up soon. I don't think the Bulldogs will be looking ahead by any means. But there are some of those roadblocks on this one. Again, short week, which is never easy, and you're traveling. You're playing in elevation, right. As mentioned, might not be a great crowd. Could be a little rain. It shouldn't be too bad if it shows up. A team that doesn't have much to lose, this Colorado State team, they might try some different things. It's just one of those games, you know, where if it's close for 20, 25 minutes and the Rams make a big play, you kind of go into panic mode if they're the favorite here. If the Dogs can start strong, I think they can put them away early. But the longer this game lasts, the more scary it gets for Fresno State. And there's enough roadblocks there where you can envision a situation where that happens. But if it's strictly X's and O's, I think this is one of the most favorable matchups left on the schedule if the Bulldogs can just take care of business.
We've mentioned that Fresno State is going to play close games this year. The style of play leads to that. Now, the Southern game was an exception, but even the Georgia Southern game, the Bulldogs were actually behind at halftime at home. Jackson, assuming that the Bulldogs are going to score somewhere in the 20s, if that's the case, and you've got a two-touchdown lead or whatever, what weapons does Colorado State have to keep the Rams in the game? We know what the Bulldogs want to do offensively, and we know how good the Bulldog defense has been for the most part. What about what they face offensively from Colorado State?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot there, and you assumed coming into the season with Braden Tyler Nicolosi, I mean, what a strong quarterback he had been in conference play over the last couple of years, and you just assume that was going to be a threatening offense. But, I mean, he's around the bench right now. He has been for the past couple of games and didn't get off to a good start, and they went a different direction. And on the injury report as well this week. The backup, Jackson Brissot, has not done a whole lot, but analytically he's been pretty efficient, and he hasn't really been fazed. A guy that hasn't played a lot of quarterback but's done pretty well against pressure, more so than a lot of experienced quarterbacks would. So, So he might be able to neutralize some things. There's just not a lot of deep play threat from this offense or key players you expect to make big plays. Their running back, Jaylen Dupree, is a solid bell cow type back. It seems like he's putting up 20 carries or 100 yards a game, whether they're in it or getting blown out. Even last week against San Diego State, that was kind of the one bright spot they had statistically. So, again, you pair that with the Fresno State defense that's playing as good as they are. I don't really see the Rams score more than 10 or 17 points, being generous, in my opinion. So it's just up to the offense. A couple of scoring drives should put the Bulldogs in the W column, but a really good day. You know, they could come out of here with a pretty lopsided, nearing blowout territory type of a win.
Other two factors. One, obviously, the health of the team. Where are we at with Walton at the moment? I mean, the sigh of relief was he wasn't lost for the year. They have still performed well on the offensive line, though they have not been the here-we-come-try-and-stop-us offensive line. We talked about the Bulldogs taking what has been given to them, and they've done a good job of it. But what about the health of the team, starting with Walton?
Yeah, Braden Walton came off the injury report, so they're fully expecting him to go. He did suit up last week, but it was more of kind of an emergency type of a situation. Probably the only way he was going to get on the field is if there was an injury ahead of him. The question, though, is, you know, if Braden Walton's 80 or 90%, is that – I mean, Torian Penright's pretty solid, and if he's 100% healthy, it might be worth it a while just to keep rolling with Penright. But if Walton's close to 100%, I expect him to play in this one. And if not, he's got two whole weeks to get ready for San Diego State. So we're going to see him soon, whether it's Friday or in 2 weeks. Probably the biggest concern right now is Ezekiel Abbott coming off of his injury last week. If he can't go, the receiver room's about 6, 7, 8 guys deep, but really the only ones that have been very effective have been Josiah Freeman and Ezekiel Abbott. So, I mean, you take one of those guys off the field. We already saw Freeman missing a game, and now Abbott. Not a lot of proven firepower after that. And I think the Bulldogs are already kind of struggling to find their number three receiver, and now that number three becomes the number two if Abbott doesn't play. So that might make life difficult for Fresno State in this game if they aren't able to run the ball the way that they should be able to.
And then the question that keeps coming up, and I would like it not to be an issue, but it still is. We've talked about Warner being resourceful. He's a tough kid. There's no doubt about it. We've seen him take big-time hits. He's willing to tuck it and go and not slide down, which maybe is a good or bad idea, depending upon your point of view about health. But one more time, you don't want to get into that playing just well enough to get you beat mode. And he still has not only had turnover issues, but he's had a lot of other potential disastrous throws that have, luckily for Fresno State, not ended up in INTs. Is he maturing in this offense enough to avoid that going forward, Jackson, your level of confidence about it? It's no knock against EJ. It's just part of his game that carried with him from Temple and Rice, and is still there turnover-wise, at least initially in this season.
Yeah, you know, it's still there, and I think I could see the offense having a really good day in this game, and it doesn't mean it's not still there either. I just think with San Diego State, and especially Boise State, two teams that are a lot more well-rounded than the Bulldogs have seen. You know, may not have the D-lines of Nevada and Hawaii, but much better defenses overall and a lot more offensive firepower. So there's just going to be a lot more opportunities to panic and to kind of scramble for Fresno State. And that's one of the question marks there, to see if they're going to be able to get through those games with the current state of Warner and the offense. I think the offense is going to have itself a day on Friday, but I don't think that necessarily means they've fixed everything, even if they do.
Well, if they can run it the way they want, it'll protect from that happening. And again, if you want to talk about get in, get out, get a W and get nobody hurt, that's the goal, because you're in, as you mentioned, a short week. Then you've got a chance to reset, you've got a bye week, and then you have those huge two back-to-back games that will probably decide things, though I know UNLV is not on the schedule, so who knows there. But if you're looking at the top two, never mind a group of five playoff bid, just the conference title, game itself. You got to have this one, and then you can reset for the back-to-back weeks coming up with San Diego State at home into Boise as well. Jackson, I appreciate it. I hope you have a safe trip the rest of the way to Fort Collins. Have you gotten there yet, or are you still on your way?
Not there yet, kind of in between, but going to try to make my way over there this evening, check out the stadium, and get the lay of the land.
Well, have a great time. I hope people check everything out on the board, and as far as the board goes at barkboard.com, 30%, where are we at here with the specials?
Yeah, it's currently 30% off a year. Gets you in on all the VIP content. We've been out of practice all week long, interviewing coaches and players and getting all the intel for this game, and we do that each week. So I hope people get in there and take advantage. A lot of recruiting intel as well. A lot of the Deegan Rose stuff was on there in advance. So I hope people join and get in on all the scoop.
And are you going to be threading the game on Friday night, tomorrow night?
Yes, and that's one good thing about a light crowd. I think I'll have the reception to be able to take my photos from the field and also get my tweets out and then post on the board. So.
Yeah, not hogging your bandwidth. It's always good to not have people hogging your bandwidth. It's very, very important. Jackson, I appreciate it, my friend. I will talk to you next week. Hope people check out the board. It's well worth it, and you and I will reconvene next week, hopefully after a W. Take care, my friend. Have a safe trip.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, the Tactical Host Jackson Moore on his way to Fort Collins. Again, check everything out at barkboard.com. Get the sub for the Insider Board. It is not expensive, and it is well worth it. All right, take a break, come back, tell you about the upcoming schedule, and hand it off to another good friend, Phil Bonatti, who's ready to go on this Thursday from Fashion Furniture. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both 1430 and 790 after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. If you want about 5 minutes from the show, hand it off to Phil. His outstanding show behind the bench 2 hours today, and then it's time for the National Football League to take over. Tonight, the Eagles and the Giants from the Meadowlands, an NFC East matchup. Of course, we have national games on Thursday, Sunday nights, and Major Wager Monday on Mondays. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, Cedar in Dakota, Carter and the whole gang there. And we also, of course, have the 49er Ram and Raider games, 49ers and the Bucks, and Adrian Martinez makes the action at quarterback the way things are going for the 49ers, the Rams and the struggling Ravens, the Raiders and the Titans, all of that over the weekend. And, of course, we have the AL and NLCS action coming up. Before that, however, we still have to wrap things up in the divisional series. So right now I want to remind you about the upcoming schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Ed does such great work for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State, and all the fundraising has the goal of unifying athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully, and so many of those grads go right to work at Precision Civil Engineering and help across the valley with the great engineering work that is done through that company, and we thank them for their sponsorship. As far as the lineup goes for us today, Dodgers and the Phils game 4 from beautiful Dodger Stadium. Why in the world the Dodger game was at 3 and the Cubs are playing a night game? You'd have to ask the network about that, okay? But it should be reversed so you don't freeze in Chicago tonight. But we will have the Dodgers first pitch just a few minutes away on 790 right now. Won't have the Cubs game tonight because we have the Sharks getting started in their season against the Golden Knights. So that's the lineup on 790 tonight. On 1430, of course, after 2 hours of Phil's fine show from Fashion Furniture, it'll be time for the Giants and the Eagles. And then tomorrow, got high school football with Garza at Sanger, and that will be Phil and Paul Metters. And speaking of Paul Metters, he has two fine shows. Sunbird Sports Show on 790, our sister station, The Deuce, 6 to 7 on Wednesdays, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. And Paul also has his long-running and fine show, Central Valley Sports Report, on 1430, 10 a.m. to noon from First Ring Sports on Saturday. Phil normally with you 3 to 6 with Behind the Bench Monday through Friday. His outstanding show, including Thursdays, as is the case today at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian, who is still upset about his Yankees. And, Rod, I don't blame you. It's a real big payroll to be knocked out by those guys from the Great White North, though Blue Jays have played great ball. But stop by and see Phil today. El Paso across from River Park. Ask him a question or two or call him on the Lee's Air Hotline, 320-1430. Best furniture on the planet there at Fashion Furniture, El Paso across from River Park. Nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show. Some good eats as well. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad. The number one at att.net. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN Fresno.com. Get the live links and podcasts there. And as we wrap it up again, I want to thank Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, and also the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. I mentioned earlier, they have the great specials going on right now. Check them out there. Stop by the KFCs. I'll tell you more about them tomorrow, as I did earlier in the show, and Phil will certainly mention it as well as he comes up. So it's Phil, and then football on 1430. Baseball already underway pregame-wise with the Dodgers and the Phils on 790, and we'll see you guys tomorrow with Brian Panish. Thanks to Jackson. Thanks to Joe. Phil is coming up on KFIG Fresno.